and Larissa Temple. Okay. Lee, we've got the vast majority of folks, and I don't want to waste time here, so I think it'd be good if we went ahead and got started, at least begin the introductions.
Sounds great. And pardon?
I was going to say, if you'd like me to help you out, I have the roster, and I can kind of read them off in order if you'd like.
That's exactly what I was going to ask you to do. So, and for disclosure of interest, you want both who we work for and our area of interest, or tell me what you want for that?
What we'd like from everybody is just a statement about who you are, where you work, your current work in that brings you to us, as well as any whether you have any involvement or ties to any of the measures we're likely to be evaluating in this project. And just to make everyone aware, we are recording this call, and the recording will be posted on NQF's website, so be aware. So, Lee, why don't you go ahead and start off with the introductions?
So I'm going to have to curb my usual sense of humor. I'm Lee Newcomer. I work for United Healthcare running their oncology service here, and I was also previous chairman of Park Nicollet Health Services. Let me welcome all of you and thank you for your help with this. One of the ironies, of course, is we have more panelists than we have measures, but this is still a good pioneering effort, and I think we'll get things started. I have no other interest to disclose other than I'm a full-time employee of United Healthcare. And so let's just go through the roster, if we could, alphabetically, and have other folks do that.
All right, next one, Dr. Bassett.
Yeah, Larry Bassett. I'm the section chief for breast imaging at UCLA Medical Centers. I also am just stepping down as the chair of the American College of Radiology Joint Commission, Breast Commission's Joint Committee on Practice Guidelines, Technical Standards, and Appropriateness Criteria.
Super, thank you. Susan Beck?
Yes, I am a professor at the University of Utah College of Nursing and investigator at the Huntsman Cancer Institute in Salt Lake City. And I have some funded research in developing experience quality measure related to the quality of care in pain management. And I also am a volunteer with the Oncology Nursing Society and have been involved in their quality measures project, which is in collaboration with the Joint Commission.
Super. Thank you very much. Christopher Freeze?
Hi, good morning, all. I'm Christopher Freeze. I'm assistant professor at the University of Michigan. I am a health services researcher and an oncology nurse, and I study quality of care, mostly in the relationship between quality and nursing care. I don't think I have any conflicts of interest.
Thank you. Is Susan Goodlin with us? Okay, looks like she's not joining us. Pat Hogan?
Yes, this is Pat Hogan. I'm a representative patient advocacy community or consumer community. I'm a breast cancer survivor, represent the National Breast Cancer Coalition, have had some background myself in quality measure for my career at IBM, and then training from a healthcare standpoint through the National Breast Cancer Coalition, and did have the opportunity to work on another NQF community committee with the NQF staff and Dr. Newcomer.
Thanks, Pat. Thank you for joining us again. Mary, I'm sorry. Your last name just is hard for me.
Yeah, hi. This is Mary Maniscalco-Theberg. I'm a general surgeon. I currently work for the Department of Veterans Affairs in the Office of the Medical Inspector, where I'm the Deputy Medical Inspector, and I'm also representing the American College of Surgeons on the NQF. In my prior life, I was the chief of the Department of Surgery at Walter Reed Army Medical Center. I'm on the Military Medical School staff as an associate professor, and my clinical practice is in breast cancer.
Great. Thank you. David Pemson?
Yeah, my name is David Penson. I'm a urologist. I'm professor of urologic surgery here at Vanderbilt University, and I'm the director of Vanderbilt Center for Surgical Quality and Outcomes Research. I am the AUA representative, American Urological Association representative to the NQF, and I have funded research in quality of life and quality of care. And I was one of the people responsible for Better or Worse for the prostate cancer measures, which are now on the PQRI.
Thank you, David. Is Liz Potters with us? Okay, doesn't look like it. Phil Putnam?
Phil Putnam. I'm a thoracic surgeon. I chair the Thoracic Committee for the American College of Surgeons Oncology Group. I'm also a member of the Society of Thoracic Surgeons, which have advanced a number of patient-centered and hospital-centered measures for the NQF processes. And I was involved with both of those committees, and I'm a professor of surgery at Vanderbilt University in Nashville, Tennessee.
Great. Thanks for joining us again, Bill. Did Dr. Temple join us yet? All right. She said she'd be late. Bonnie Teschendorf?
Yes, hi. My principal role at the moment is working on patient-reported outcomes in our clinical trials at J&J, and my previous experience had been at Memorial Sloan Kettering and at the American Cancer Society. I've done a lot of work in outcomes research, and I have great familiarity with existing PRO measures, and so and I have no conflicts of interest to report.
Great. Did anyone else on the committee join us who hasn't introduced themselves? Okay. My name is Reva Winkler. I'm the senior advisor for NQF's Patient Outcomes Project, and thank you all very much for being here with us. With me here in the NQF office, I have other members of the project staff. Sarah Fanto is a research assistant, and Alexis Foreman, who is the project director. I'm sure you're quite familiar with Alexis' name. She sends all of our emails. So also, Helen, did you want to say a word?
I'm just getting off mute, as we all do. Hi, Helen Burstyn. I'm the Senior Vice President for Performance Measures. Thank you for joining us today, and just be listening along with the rest of the team. Thanks.
Okay.
And just a little technical side note. Somebody's in a room with a lot of background noise. If they could mute their phone, it'd be great. Thanks.
Great. All right. For those of you who are on the webinar, we're just going to be using the slides to help kind of structure discussion a bit, but feel free to jump in and ask questions. This is meant to be very informal. First slide. The goal for today is actually to bring you all into what's going on with this project, what we're hoping to accomplish. We have a meeting scheduled on February 10th that some orientation, what's expected, what we're going to be doing, is what we're trying to accomplish today, and begin the discussions that we're going to continue on, both at the meeting and perhaps even after that, in terms of identifying candidate measures for consideration in this project around outcomes, as well as the evaluation criteria we will be using to look at the candidate measures that have been submitted so far. There are only five of them, but nonetheless, five can still require a certain amount of time to evaluate. Also, one important part of this project is to look at where we need to go with measuring outcomes for patients with cancer. So with that, I'm just going to go through the slides, but again, feel free to interrupt or ask a question at any point. Many of you have worked with us before and are familiar with NQF. However, some of you, perhaps this is a relatively new experience. NQF is a private nonprofit voluntary consensus standard setting organization. We have more than 400 member organizations that represent a wide variety of stakeholder groups. Our members are organized into 8 stakeholder councils, and those councils represent the various stakeholder interests such as consumers, purchasers and payers, researchers, professionals, providers, community health, and supplier and industry. So there's a wide spectrum of stakeholders that are part of NQF. Our structure is not unlike most organizations with the board of directors.
For several medical schools and the new...
Whoops, somebody's on. Thank you. Our board of directors is the ultimate committee at the top of the organizational structure. An important subcommittee of the board of directors is the Consensus Standards Approval Committee, that all of the work that we do in the consensus development projects go through this Consensus Standards Approval Committee to do a lot of the heavy lifting on behalf of the board of directors before the board gives its final approval for endorsement. We also have several other sort of activities within NQF. There's been a lot of change and growth and evolution in NQF's activities. NQF's a very active member of the National Priorities Partnership. This is a partnership of 30-some-odd organizations in the quality measurement enterprise who are looking at aligning around a set of national priorities and goals to work together for greater synergies to move the quality agenda forward. And another activity we have is our leadership network, which is the chairs and co-chairs or vice chairs of each of the members' councils come together monthly to help represent the various stakeholder interests in a lot of the work that NQF does. So NQF is a very is a rapidly growing organization. I've been with NQF for 9 years now, and I've watched it change and evolve quite significantly during that time. Next. I'd like to point out to you, if you're not familiar with our new website, we launched it last summer. This website is where we post information on all of our activities, certainly all the activities around this project. If you look at the drop-down menu under Measuring Performance to Consensus Development Projects, go to Patient Outcomes, and there we are. And this is where the recording of this call and all of your meetings and the transcripts from meetings and all the documents we prepare will be posted and available for everyone to view. I'd like to just recommend strongly that everyone consider enrolling and getting yourself an account number. This is open to absolutely anyone, because then you can make this website specific for your interests and make it very quick to get to the things that are most topical for you and make it very personal. So that's a nice feature that has, I think, aids in navigating around the rather significant amount of information on that website. So I really encourage you to explore and take advantage of that option. Next one. Just a recap of, you know, NQF as an organization. We do have a three-pronged mission around improvement of the quality of American healthcare. One is around national priorities and goals. That is the National Priorities Partnership. That's been an activity that NQF has been strongly involved in for the last 2 to 3 years to really emphasize that part of our mission. And we'll talk a little bit about what those priorities and goals are, because they do influence the work of all of the activities throughout NQF, including this project and all the other consensus projects. Our second mission is the one that we're most known for and have been since the very beginning, and that's endorsing national voluntary consensus standards for measuring and publicly reporting on performance. And then our third prong is promoting the attainment of those national goals through education and outreach programs, often based on utilizing our measures. So the strategic goals are not unlike any other large organization of our type, and I'll let you read those. Go on to the next one. And just as an observation of the 9 years of NQF's history, some of you have been involved in some of our previous projects, and NQF has really experienced a large growth in the number of endorsed measures. We're over 600 endorsed measures at this point. And at this, and one of our major activities is looking at that portfolio in a critical way and asking what are the needs that will help drive quality improvement that's appropriate for today. When we endorsed measures 6, 7, 8 years ago, the world was very different. What we were able to do with measurement was very different, and the measures that were endorsed then may not be appropriate today. So we're looking to evolve our measurement set and look at the various drivers for new measures or the kinds of measures that NQF would like to see in the portfolio, realizing that we've got lots of various interests and lots of different users out there, certainly around the various incentive programs and pay-for-performance programs. But NQF's real bottom line is around public reporting of performance information for all the stakeholders to be able to use for their various purposes. But over the feedback we get does say that our endorsed measures need to address certain important gaps. One that we've been addressing over the last several years are measures at the individual physician level, and I think that those of you who have worked with us before have been involved in some of those projects, so that we actually do have a large number of measures in the portfolio do addressing physician performance. Disparity-sensitive measures are another important priority that we want to think about and remember and look at measures critically on their ability to identify disparities-sensitive issues so that we can address them appropriately. Looking at patient experience, and that can be not only satisfaction, but what happened, health status, functional status, things like that are the types of measures we have not seen a great many of heretofore, but are certainly of great interest to many stakeholders, and we want to see more of them in the future. Then looking at cross-cutting areas rather than very narrowly defined condition-specific areas is another important aspect. Looking at things across medication management, infection, some of the patient safety issues, pain control, things that are not necessarily tied to a specific diagnosis or condition. But again, as I said, we at this point have over 600 endorsed measures, and the question is, do we have too many? I think most of us would agree that's likely to be true. How many is, what the proper number is not correct, is not not known. However, it's very clear we need to land on the right measures. And that's probably an evolving target as more sophisticated data management capabilities become available. And frankly, as measurement needs to become more robust and a threshold needs to be raised. Clearly, availability of data sources is a big issue when we look at measures for endorsement. And a large a part of the activity here at NQF is planning for the transition to EHRs. So there's just a lot of things going on that do influence the endorsement of measures that we will try and bring into the conversations for this committee and ultimately for the steering committee as well. So again, as I mentioned, NQF is involved. The Quality Measurement Enterprise has evolved. And time has passed as over this last decade, a lot of different things in the quality landscape have changed. What we're certainly hearing and our members are asking for is driving towards higher performance. And in order to drive higher performance, we do need more measures that are more robust and more demanding so that we can really understand and incentivize higher levels of performance. There's a desire to look at composite measures rather than large numbers of related process measures. Is there some way we can combine them into a single summary or aggregated measure that provides a lot of information in a more simplified fashion? So composite measures are an important priority for NQF. Measuring disparities, as I mentioned, another issue that's very significant when we're looking at evaluating measures for endorsement is harmonization. We've got lots of measures that are very similar, but perhaps they apply to different patient populations in different settings. The patient's the same as they travel among those settings, and measuring them slightly differently is not particularly helpful in understanding the entire experience for the patient. So it is important that we look at harmonization to the greatest degree possible, acknowledging the limitations that data sources may provide for us. Another significant priority is measures that promote shared accountability and measurement across patient-focused episodes of care. We're going to talk a little bit more about the patient-focused episodes of care, but within that is looking at things like outcome measures, which is the focus of this large project. Outcome measures are in greater demand. As we'll talk about, the federal government is funding this project and is looking for more outcome measures to really answer the question, what's happening to patients and how much value and quality are we getting for the money we're paying? So that outcome measures are a significant priority. Appropriateness measures are also important. We don't see a lot of those yet, but we're starting to see new measures being developed asking the question of not only did you do it right, was it the right thing to do? And so appropriateness measures are highly desirable. And then we're going to be moving into looking at measures of cost and resource use coupled with quality to try and assess that elusive concept of efficiency. NQF is embarking on a project looking at cost and resource use measures that's trailing behind this project a little bit, but ultimately all of these will coalesce and hopefully start beginning to address some of these questions around cost and efficiency. I'm just going to pause for a second and ask if anybody has any questions on any of the things that I've said so far. For those of you who've worked with us before, these are some of the most recent sort of not changes, but evolutionary things that are impacting the evaluation of measures and the kinds of measures that NQF members and stakeholders want to see become part of the portfolio.
Bonnie, I actually do have a question.
Sure enough.
If you go back to slide 8, the first bullet, you say drive toward higher performance. Mm-hmm. Are you talking about performance of practitioners, or are you talking about healthcare system performance?
Everybody.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So, yeah, we're not trying to focus in on any particular part because ultimately the higher performance of any member within the healthcare delivery system is likely to impact patients positively. And so it's a win-win for everyone. So we don't want to focus in on any narrow specific part of it, but frankly one of our significant priorities is how all of the system is working together and how the professionals and the providers and the various organizations and institutions work together synergistically and in a coordinated fashion to benefit patients.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions so far?
This is Dr. Potters. I just wanted to let you know I've been on the call. I didn't get on right off. The operator held me up for about 15 minutes.
Okay. Ooh, I apologize for that. Dr. Potters, we went through introductions with everyone. Let's see if any other latecomers joined us. Dr. Goodlin?
Yeah, hi, Susan Goodman. I also had a hard time getting through the operator.
Okay, I apologize to everybody. Is Dr. Temple on?
Yes, I just got on as well.
Great. And what the rest of the group did before you got on is introduce themselves and just a basic background of who you are and whether you have any involvement with any of the measures we might be evaluating in this project. So why don't we catch up with the three of you before we proceed further. So Dr. Goodlin, could you just give us a brief intro?
Hi, my name is Susan Gooden. I'm from the Cancer Institute in New Jersey. I am also a professor of medicine in the Robert Wood Johnson Medical School. So I actually am a pharmacist by trade or by training. So when we look at the measures that are the five measures that have currently, I guess, proposed, certainly the FACDEL and the FACD would be the areas where my role here at the center in regards to supportive palliative care would fall in line.
Okay. All righty. Dr. Potters?
Yeah, hi. Lou Potters. I'm chairman of radiation medicine at North Shore LIJ Health System on Long Island. I have been involved, I guess, with some of the clinical measures, specifically some of those that we've worked on with Astro, and was also involved in, I guess it was about 2 years ago, an NQF meeting in Washington that helped to frame some of Dr. Bach's article, which was, I guess, in the handout.
Right. I think you're going to be hearing a little more about that, so that's great. Thank you. And Dr. Temple?
Yeah, my name is Larissa Temple. I'm a surgical oncologist at Memorial Sloan Kettering, and I focus on colorectal cancer.
I am a member of the Surgical Quality Alliance, which is through the ACS, and so obviously the measure looking at risk stratification is relevant to me. I also was on the TAP for the episode framework with colon rectal cancers a couple of years ago, and I recognize the document.
Great. Okay, so we have everyone on this committee is here. This is a large panel, but we're addressing a large topic area, not just cancer, but the five cancers that are specified for this particular effort. So thank you all. Given we've started out with a little bit of introduction, are there any other comments before I continue on? Okay. We're back on the slide about quality and disparities in measurement. This is an important issue because, especially when you're looking at measures that have risk adjustment associated with them, looking at the various risk factors embedded in regression models is important in general. NQF prefers not to include these characteristics in the regression models, but rather stratify by these characteristics so that we can understand better how disparities are occurring and perhaps develop strategies for dealing with them. Certainly there are some challenges in collecting the data, but certainly if we identify measures that are particularly known to be disparity sensitive, we do want to highlight and address the issues there.
Could I ask one question?
Yeah, sure.
This is Bill Putnam. Has there been an attempt to reach out to traditionally underrepresented minority institutions to engage them in the measures that would be important to their patient populations?
Bill, I would say that we certainly are aware of, and we have certain members that are in the public hospitals, for instance, which often kind of fall into that category, and they have been quite active at engaged with these projects, nominating people to participate with us and responding whenever. So to some degree, perhaps there are other avenues that perhaps we could discuss, at the meeting or offline, that might be additional avenues we could pursue.
Thank you.
Thanks.
So it's Lee Newcomer. My other comment here is that is this even technically possible aside from what I'll call the majority representative minorities? For example, we have a clinic in downtown Minneapolis that speaks 101 different languages,
mm-hmm.
And that's in what's already considered to be a pretty homogeneous population. So you start thinking statistically about breaking out 101 languages and you quickly get into non-significance. Is there a way we can address this issue that's really going to be valid in terms of statistics?
And this is an issue, is sort of the discussion that happens most of the time, although there are some disparities are not necessarily by race or ethnicity. Actually, last week when we had the cardiovascular measures, actually there are some differences by gender that are potentially significant, and there may be additional information stratifying by gender as opposed to just lumping everybody together. So I think you're absolutely right that there are challenges around the data. But we do need to at least try and acknowledge that the disparities exist, and when it is possible and feasible to use measure to help us understand it and to monitor what's going on, we should want to do that.
Okay. Perhaps maybe the other way to think about this is I'm trying to come up with a term here, the risk factors other than classic medical. That's not exactly the right phrasing, but we might even expand this beyond the kinds of things you have on your mm-hmm. slide today.
Yeah, and I think this becomes important for us in looking at the candidate measures for this project, particularly in terms of the risk factors that get included in the various models. And so I think that's where this conversation is going to probably become greatest. So, all right, if nobody has any objections, we'll move on. Definitely a difficult subject, but one we don't want to forget. Several of the folks on this committee were involved in the work that NQF did a couple years ago around episodes of care for patients with cancer. And materials that were sent to you, there was a background document by Hassett and Bach from 2007 that was a background document for that workshop looking at episodes of care for breast cancer and colon and rectal cancer. And this is sort of the pictorial view of an episode framework for breast cancer to follow is the one for colon cancer. And these are the classic NQF bubble diagrams, and they have interest and use of these bubble diagrams seems to be percolating out into the greater world. I actually go to conferences and see someone presenting NQF bubble diagrams because they seem to resonate as a way of describing what are we talking about in episode, who are we talking about, and what are the important issues. This is just a very simplified diagram, though if you read the details in the background paper, the appendices go into a lot of the detailed issues at each of these various points. But as you can see, the various potential patient trajectories, they looked at the type of outcomes that are important for these group of patients in this episode of care. And it's not just survival, but health-related quality of life, symptom management, efficiency, cost of care, and reintegration, which I would say might better be described as things like functional status, how well a patient truly recovers to their life prior to their diagnosis, if you will, which is certainly a big issue for patients in general. So that the concept of these framework diagrams gives sort of a broader picture. If you notice, they are not specific to setting because various aspects of the evaluation and initial management could happen in a variety of places as well as the definitive care or the follow-up care of various treatment plans. So these are not meant to be setting specific. These are meant to ask what happens to a patient over the entire episode of them dealing with the course of breast cancer. Next. Same thing, here's one for colon and rectal cancers, the details of which are described in the paper we gave you. But the concept around episode frameworks, and so that it's not just a tiny slice of a patient experience, but we really want to get this global look over the entire episode of care for that patient. So to the degree that we're looking at what would be good outcomes, we need to think in this more global fashion rather than in some of the narrow views that are often taken. I had mentioned the National Priorities Partnership, which is a partnership of around 30 organizations among the Quality Measurement Enterprise working together to come together and identify priorities and goals. This group has its own website, priorities partnership.org, and all of the information around that is detailed there. The six national priorities are the overarching objectives that all this collaborative effort has landed on, and all of these organizations are committed to the work that within that organization is driving towards supporting these national priorities and the objectives within them. And there, the six topic areas are around patient and family engagement, population health, patient safety, care coordination, end-of-life care, and appropriate or overuse of care delivery. Within the PDF packet of information we gave you, there is a group of documents that describes the priorities partnership goals in more detail, and you're welcome to take a look at that. While not all of the measures that NQF endorses will automatically fall into any of these, certainly if we find measures that do, that does kind of give them a star in terms of the priority for this to help acquire the tools that it will take to push towards these objectives. So it's important. So you'll hear us talking a lot about NPP. Within the measure evaluation documents, you'll see references to NPP. So I wanted you to be aware of what that was and why it's an important aspect of our measure evaluation. Any questions on that at all? Okay, hopefully most people are familiar with it. And just to show you that we take the episode framework and the NPP goals and we see how everything works together, we're trying to avoid silos within NQF and make and have all of our work be coordinated and synergistic, though what happens is we end up with messy slides. But as you can see, we're trying to make sure that all of the work kind of works together in what we do. Next slide. So let's talk about this particular project, our outcome project. It is funded by the Department of Health and Human Services. It is one of the tasks of a larger contract we have at HHS. There, HHS obviously is focused in on the top 20 Medicare conditions, and that does include the five cancers, breast, colon and rectal, lung, prostate, and endometrial. And so that's the particular focus for this project. We have a wide variety of availability of existing measures in the NQF portfolio. We've given you several tables that kind of look at that in your documentation. Certainly, we've got a few outcome measures around lung cancer. Dr. Putnam worked with us a couple of years ago. We looked at measures for that area. We've got some around breast cancer. We've got some that are more cross-cutting, such as the pathology reports and end-of-life care. So we do have some outcome measures, but to try and meet the objectives of this particular project, we did do a call for measures asking for outcome measures, particularly for these five cancers. We didn't get a lot of measures, and I think probably your own experience and certainly ours is outcome measures for these populations are not necessarily easy. And so we're going to talk about not only is evaluating measures one of the goals for this group, but also asking the question, what would good outcome measures be? So that the folks who are able to set a measure development agenda can be informed and start getting us the measures that people are looking for. So just to know, this is a big project. We've split things into three phases. It actually has three steering committees. The work of this TAP is advising what we call the main steering committee, and they're addressing the top 20 Medicare conditions with eight technical advisory panels advising them. So it gets a little complicated. Phase three is where we have two additional steering committees looking at child health and mental health. So this outcomes project is a rather large, expansive one, lots of people involved and lots of moving parts. So you fit in that you're part of the technical panels advising the main steering committee. As I mentioned, our goals. The first one I think is very typical and lines up with most of work that NQF is known for and that some of you have worked with us in the past, and that is to identify, evaluate, and endorse additional measures suitable for public reporting as well as quality improvement that address the outcomes of healthcare. So that's where we're at. That's where we want to be at the end of the day. This project also includes some cross-cutting measures that are not specific to the top 20 Medicare conditions that are more appropriate across a larger population of patients. To date, the steering committee will be reviewing approximately 40 submitted measures, but it's highly variable in terms of the topic areas. We've got about 14 measures in cardiovascular. We've got five here in these cancers. We've got seven in GI. We've got nothing for eye care, and we've got nothing for bone and joint. So it's quite a variety in this project. realize that we're also adding measures to NQF's existing portfolio, and we do have a significant portfolio of outcome measures. Some of them are intermediate outcome measures, and some of them might even be thought to be process proxies for outcome measures. But it's not the first time we've done outcome measures by any means. We're trying to fill in the gaps. So the first goal of the project is to look at measures that have come in through our call for measures. Because we didn't get a lot of measures in this area of cancer, another avenue we're pursuing is asking our various experts, in this case you all, whether you know of any measures, whether you are familiar with any measures that could be brought into this project. We're trying to pursue any avenue that we are aware of where we might be able to identify measures. We did the open call. We've actually had several environmental scans that we've looked at, and now we're looking to folks in the field out there in the world, the cancer world, who might be aware of measures. So one thing I would ask of you as probably your first to-do task as a panel is, if you are aware of any outcome measures related to cancer, particularly the five I mentioned, but not limited to that, or to, you know, cancer patients in general that might be outcome measures, and we're going to talk a little bit more about types of outcome measures. So keep in mind that the way we're defining outcomes is fairly broad, but sort of the first task for you all is, do you know of anything that we could approach the measure developers and see if we could get them submitted to this project? Any comments or questions about that task? I'm not going to ask you to tell me what they are now, but questions about what we're looking for? Okay. I'm assuming I'm either totally unclear or totally clear as to what the task was.
We're all muted, and we're all following you.
Gotcha. So. Thanks. Okay. Never know, you know?
Yep.
Okay. So that's the first thing. We do have five measures to look at. We will be doing that on our meeting on February 10th. One thing we're going to talk about a little bit later is the actual measure evaluation criteria and the process we're going to use for doing that. The second big task for this group and for all of the TAPs and for this project is to look critically at the measures we do have. And ask the question is, what are the measures we should have to meet the needs of the various stakeholders around outcome measures for patients with cancer? So that's going to be one of the creative thinking tasks that I'd like you to begin thinking about. Look at the background information we've given you on the various approaches to how to look at measuring quality of care for cancer patients. Look at the framework, if you will, that the steering committee has identified on the types of outcome measures. And we're going to want to try and identify at this point good ideas for measures that should be developed in the five individual cancers, but also for cancer patients overall. So that's your second task for you, to begin thinking about that as we talk about some of these other issues. What should the measures be? And if in our conversations you say, you know, there really needs to be a measure for X, we're going to be capturing that, and it's perfectly appropriate for you to bring those up, and I encourage you to do so. So does anybody have any questions on the project goals? These are what we're trying to accomplish this year. Okay, next. Just to mention, NQF's work around endorsing measures is around developing consensus. How do we do that? Formal process. Using the overall strategy we have for measurement and public reporting, which is NQF's, you know, focus, as well as establishing and supporting the national goals and priority. Realizing that we represent a multi-stakeholder membership of all of the various interests in healthcare quality, and the steering committee actually represents those interests. So you're advising the steering committee on the more technical content-related elements of the measures. That group that is the multi-stakeholder membership will actually be making the recommendations to the entire NQF membership on what measures should go forward for endorsement. This is a public and private sector organizations within NQF. which is nice. Our, as I mentioned, our focus is on the entire continuum of healthcare and not any particular setting. And then our endorsement grants status as voluntary consensus standards to the endorsed measures. So that's kind of, you know, who we are and our formal process for doing the work that we do. Schematically, here's where we are. It is a formal process. It is very well laid out and formal with specific steps and processes for each step. In yellow, the technical advisors or technical advisory panels are those that advise the steering committee. And we'll talk a little bit more about your role in terms of providing that advice. Go ahead, next. The role of the technical advisory panels is one that's evolving with feedback from the various steering committees and the CSAC and the board and all sorts of things. Certainly, NQF's measure evaluation criteria at times gets very, very detailed and very technical, and certainly it requires knowledge of the topic at hand or the conditions at hand. So we need to bring in a lot of folks with the knowledge we need to help understand these measures and evaluate them properly. In a project this big, we do that through the use of the technical advisory panels. So we're going to be asking you to look at the sub-criteria in the measure evaluation form. Each of the four main criteria have a variety of sub-criteria under it, and really look at those carefully in detail and provide a rating of those sub-criteria that will help the steering committee understand the strengths and weaknesses of the measures and pull out the issues that you feel are particularly important in understanding the strengths and weaknesses of the measures. So that is the role of the TAP, and that's what we'll be doing on February 10th, is going through those five measures and asking you as a group to look at the sub-criteria for each of the measures and providing us a rating of the from the entire input from the entire panel. Dr. Newcomer, as the chair, will sit as a member of the steering committee. He's going to be in the position to help communicate beyond what staff does and what we're able to write down so that the discussion that you've had in highlighting the strengths and weaknesses of the measures can be brought to the steering committee, that they can understand what's going on as they then make their recommendations. And as we mentioned, the last role is also suggesting areas for measure development where there are significant gaps. So this is what we're going to be asking you to do. In a minute, I'm going to go over a little bit more of the specific nuts and bolts of that. But are there any questions in terms of the role of the TAP in terms of the entire project? Okay. I will assume it's clear. Role of the staff, I'll let you read it. We do what staff does. I want to talk a little bit about the NQF endorsement criteria, because what we're going to be doing to prepare for the February 10 meeting is you will be receiving later this week the meeting materials. We have five measures. We'll show you in a little bit the an example of the measure evaluation form. It is a form that's created from the electronic submission of data by the measure developer, and then we take that information and it electronically populates a standardized form that goes through the measure evaluation criteria and to kind of walk you through them to facilitate evaluation of the measures. So NQF does have standard endorsement criteria. For those of you who've worked with us in the past, be aware that those evaluation criteria were revised in August of 2008, so there may be some new things from compared to your previous experience. And the reason for doing that were to push this whole idea of higher performance. One of the reasons was to look for strong links to the national priorities and the higher level performance measures. We do want have a greater emphasis on measure harmonization, as I mentioned, greater emphasis on outcome measures, so that's sort of a given for us. And then when we are looking at process measures, a tighter outcomes process link. And so these are the kinds of criteria that are important to raise the bar, if you will, and get us to higher level performance measures. I just briefly want to go over the highlights of each of those criteria as sort of an introduction for you as you're going to be beginning to evaluate measures for our February 10th meeting. For those of you who are familiar with our old criteria, the actual four main criteria of importance, scientific acceptability, feasibility, and usability have not changed. However, we have sort of described them a little bit more focused to meet NQF's mission and goals. Importance is really about importance to measure and report, acknowledging that measurement has costs and at times quite significant costs. And so regardless of how good the measure is, if the information obtained from doing the measure just doesn't have a lot of oomph to it, it may not be worth the cost of collecting and aggregating and reporting the data. So important to measure and report, and we'll talk about what the sub-criteria are, is a must-pass criteria. Steering committee will ultimately determine that, but you will help identify the information in the sub-criteria that will help them make that assessment. Scientific acceptability is the scientific acceptability of the measure properties, the measure itself. Are the specifications precise? Is it valid? Is it reliable? Those sorts of things, not the evidence base of the measure, which actually comes in under the importance criteria, as you'll see. So we're talking about scientific acceptability of the measure and how does it work and behave. Feasibility, with greater emphasis on health IT, if measure developers are not considering how their measures are going to evolve into the EHR world, we want to know how they're thinking about it. And then usability, this is where harmonization becomes a real important aspect because the field out there is telling us we cannot have a half a dozen measures about beta blocker use after AMI and they all specified slightly differently. That's not helping anyone. So harmonization is really becoming a huge issue and therefore a big priority in the consideration. I'll go ahead to the next one. I just wanted to hit the project timeline real briefly. We're having these meetings, the steering over January through March. The main steering committee will be meeting April 20th and 21st to review the measures. So if indeed we don't complete all of our work on February 10th, there is an opportunity for us to have subsequent conference calls to do any follow-up work that's necessary. So that's kind of how we're planning this. Public comment will be in the summer in June, member voting in August, with CSAC and board ratification planned for October. So this project is moving pretty fast, and we should have it totally wrapped up by the end of 2010. So go ahead, keep going. I'm asking Sarah to move a little bit faster through some of the slides because I think you can read them. Keep going. Just a couple of things I wanted to mention because importance to measure and report is a criteria that often is somewhat confused. And this, again, as I mentioned, it's the balance between the information obtained versus the resources to expend. The three sub-criteria are around three important things. One is, you know, yes.
Mm-hmm. It's Lee. Not all of us are on a WebEx, so I think
okay, I'm sorry.
What's the slide number?
Yeah, 29.
Thank you. Okay.
Sorry about that. Thank you for reminding me. Yeah, we flipped down to 29. So the sub-criteria in importance to measure and report is something that often confuses some of the committees, so I want to spend a little bit of time just focused in on it. The first one is the impact of the measure. Certainly if there is a direct relationship to an NQF priority and goal or the NPP priority and goal, that's a good thing. But other high-impact aspects are important as well. Is this something that happens to a lot of people, high volume? Is it high cost? Is it high morbidity? So there are a variety of ways that high impact could be assessed. And so different types of measures, different types of conditions may be characterized as high impact in a variety of ways. So that's one of the criteria. The second one is the evidence base. I mean, is this measure, particularly the process measures, does it have a tight relationship to outcomes? For this particular project where we're focusing in on outcomes, in general, this is a bit of a gimme because outcomes are important. But however, there may be some element about some outcomes may be more useful or usable than other outcomes. And so any comments around that are important. And then the other thing is opportunity for improvement. What do we know about current performance? We know that quality improvement is possible, because if everybody's actually performing at the 95th percentile, again, is this worth expending the resources to measure and report this? So we really are looking for the measures that will drive improvement, not just necessarily give us a gold star. So those are the issues around importance to measure and report. And for the steering committee, they will determine whether the measure passes it. And regardless of how the measure rates or fares on the other criteria, if it doesn't pass importance to measure and report, that's as far as it goes. So that's one of the big changes in the measure evaluation criteria for those of you who have done this before. So I just want to move to slide number...
Rita?
Yeah.
Before you leave this slide, it's lead newcomer again.
Mm-hmm.
Opportunity for improvement, philosophically, lines right up with me. I'm all for it. But some of these measures are used in reward systems, and therefore not everybody would then try and make a target that they could do very well in.
Yep.
And it was a source of conflict in our previous attempt at PPR reviews. So is NQF saying in the opportunity for improvement that these measures should not be used for reward systems? Are we being that explicit? Or,
no, we're not being that explicit. Realizing that NQF's goal is focusing around the public reporting. And we are trying to coalesce all of our work around things that will actually drive, you know, subsequent improvement, measurement, sort of causing improvement, if you will, rather than just reporting the news. And so... the opportunity for improvement is an important criteria that is looked a lot, and we get a lot of public comment and comment from CSAC members that, hey, you know, if this measure is topped out at, you know, 95 to 98% performance, why should we be asking people to spend the resources to collect and report on this data?
Unless there is some kind of pot at the end of the rainbow.
Sure.
And so... as much as I like this bullet, I think it probably needs to be followed, and maybe a discussion for you to take to your board is opportunity for improvement measures should not be attached to rewards for that very reason. That encourages people to look at things where there are large gaps and start filling them.
Okay, it's a good comment, Lee. And
although one of the other issues, this is Dr. Mary, one of the other issues are that sometimes if we're performing at 95% and then people don't measure or don't care about it, people stop performing at that level. So I think we also need to weigh that in as we look at things, because if it's something that people know is being monitored, mm-hmm. then it's something that's a priority for them.
Right.
That's a good point.
What gets measured gets attended to.
Correct.
All very important comments. Thank you. David Hopkins, are you still on the line? Just to mention, David is listening in. He's a member of the
committee. I am still
committee.
Listening, Reva.
Okay, and he's a member of the CSAC. So I may ask David to comment a little later if he has anything. But some of your message is already making its way. I'm sorry, David, I stomped on you.
I just said I'm going to have to drop off very soon.
Okay. Did you have any comment on the recent comments that Dr. Newcomer and Dr. Mary had to say about the opportunity for improvement criteria?
No. I mean, we're very interesting comments like that on the CSEC, and we're still trying to get it right. So that's all I would say is thank you. We'll consider it.
All right. So, guys, you know, your message is already moving its way forward.
Okay, great.
Okay. Just quickly, I just wanted to go over the next couple slides. 31 is the scientific acceptability of the measure properties. When you're looking at these measures, that section under scientific acceptability is really about the measure as specified and submitted by the developer. So we're looking at that measure, not the concept behind it, but that specific measure. So just keep that in mind. One of the big issues around some of the revisions of the criteria around exclusions, because feedback from the field is basically saying, you know, sometimes the exclusions just make these measures almost impossible to do, particularly if the exclusions are so voluminous and actually really only address tiny numbers that really don't impact the overall results. So looking at the exclusions carefully to see how important they are to the actual measure result is one of the important criteria as well. So there, the evaluation criteria really does look for evidence that the measure results would be distorted without the exclusions. So rather than looking for exhaustive lists, the exclusions are important because they affect the actual measure result. So that's just an important evolution, if you will. Just quickly, the next slide on usability. This is looking at the meaningfulness and understandability to the various audiences, realizing your audiences are highly varied. NQF's focus is on public reporting as well as for quality improvement. So we don't endorse measures just for quality improvement. So these are all for public reporting. Feasibility is the last criteria, and that's, you know, how easy or how much is it going to cost and how easy is it going to be to collect and report on this data. How burdensome is it to do this? And this is where we really want to start looking at the how the measure can morph its way into EHRs. A lot of the work that NQF is doing is looking at retooling measures for use in electronic health records. So to the degree that a measure developer is thinking along those lines, how this measure will make its way into that realm will be an important criterion. So those are the four basic criteria. We have given you in your packet a detailed description of the measure evaluation criteria. I think it would be very important for you to read through that before you even begin looking at measures, just so that you can see the details and the types of questions that are being asked. There will be other issues that come up depending on the measures. Risk adjustment is a big one. A lot of these measures have regression or other types of risk adjustment models to look at, and we'll have to dig into the details around those models. Sometimes we have outcome measures, particularly the adverse outcomes where rare occurrence is an issue. What do you do with the small numbers thing? This has come up before, but it's still, you know, an ongoing issue. Time windows, you know, when are we looking? How will that impact data collection and validity of the results in terms of the time window? Other methodologic issues are likely to be identified by the technical panels as we go forward, and we want to be able to address them and think about them. Certainly, the NQF membership and the public comment we'll receive will have expected us to comment on that. So I'm going to skip the slide on risk adjustment and rare occurrence. You can read those in time windows. So I'm going to move on to slide number 40, which is the framework to help us identify gaps in measurement. At the steering committee meeting in October to launch this project, the steering committee identified types of outcome measures, and they're listed here. And so as you can see, they're describing outcomes in a very broad fashion. Patient function, symptoms, health-related quality of life, health status, all of those things, and not just physical but mental and social functioning as well, would all be appropriate outcome measures. Intermediate clinical outcomes certainly is well understood. Patient or caregiver experience with their care, the knowledge and understanding and motivation of patients around their care, their risk status and behaviors, including adherence to treatment. The next group is healthcare service utilizations as proxies for outcome. This is where readmissions or post-hospitalized visits to the emergency room or reoperation or things like that would come into play as types of outcomes. Another group is non-mortality, clinical morbidity related to disease control or treatment. The example I'm always using on this one is for patients with diabetes, amputation rates. So types of significant morbidity related to disease control. Adverse events. safe and healthy living environment, as it influences the outcome of treatment processes and care, and then, of course, mortality is probably the best well-known outcome measure. So these types of outcome measures establish a bit of a framework that the steering committee would love to see measures for each of those 20 condition areas, a measure addressing, if not all, at least certainly more than one or two of these types of outcome measures. So in terms of looking at what are outcome measures do we want to see developed in the future, these are the kinds of things we want to look at. So moving on to slide 41, what we've done is taken the measures that have been submitted as well as endorsed and plugged them in our developing framework. And you can see that a couple of the measures are under patient function, and that's great because we really didn't have anything in that type of outcome before. For cancer, we don't have a lot of intermediate clinical outcomes, at least by, you know, staff didn't characterize them that way, or some of the others. Go ahead to the next one, Sarah. But you can see that some of the submitted measures are in the patient adherence or understanding or follow-up or things that are very important to patients, such as timing and a follow-up or timeliness of follow-up. So a couple measures in that area. The healthcare utilization, you know, the outcome measures for colorectal cancer surgery, so that's in one. We've also got morbidity measures for esophagectomy and lobectomy for lung cancer, which we did in a prior project that Dr. Putnam was part of, so we certainly have addressed some of these issues. So far, nothing in the adverse event realm, which certainly I think is a potential area around chemotherapy or radiation therapy adverse events, as well as surgical. And then, of course, here's where we've got the vast majority of what we have in outcome measures, and that's certainly around mortality, end-of-life care. So I think that using that framework for the various types of cancer provides a bit of a framework that if for your particular area you could think of what would be good outcome measures for cancer, that would help us address the second goal of this project. And so hopefully on the 10th we'll have time to have a conversation about your thoughts on that, and certainly we may need to have some subsequent conversations around that before we actually take your final thoughts to the steering committee in April. So essentially, that's all we have with the slides, and I'll just ask for any questions, then we'll just talk about where we're going to go from here to get ready for our February 10 meeting. Are there any questions? Okay. Later this week, you're going to be receiving the meeting materials for the February 10 meeting. We have five measures. You're going to be first thing we're going to do is assign reviewers for each of the five measures. And there'll be three reviewers for each of the five measures. So you'll get, you know, an assignment. Each of you should have just two measures to look at in detail. It would be great if you would have read over the other three measures so that you can participate in the conversation. What we'll do is send you the measures embedded in our measure evaluation form. And for those of you that are on the webinar, Sarah's just putting up now just the example of what that will look like. The information that has been embedded is from the measure developer's submission. You may not agree with what they say or what their rationale or justification is. By all means, bring those issues up. There are a couple of areas that NQF staff has added some comments in, but those are labeled as such. This document is meant to have a life throughout the project. So the initial step is the steering committee putting the measure submitter putting the information in. Staff puts a few comments in. We'll add your TAP comments and your ratings for the sub-criteria. That then completed will go to the steering committee where they'll do their work and that information will get put in. And at the end of the day, this progression for this document will be available for public comment when this measure set goes out for review. So These are not small documents. They're relatively lengthy, but we find that they're, we put all the information in one place. It's easier for everybody to take a look at. Also, we're dealing with lots of paper, so we generally work in the electronic realm. We will be sending these to you electronically. We do ask that you bring your laptop with you to the meeting so that you can review them electronically. For those of you who still like to work in paper, that's fine. We typically don't have everything all printed out. However, it's just, frankly, overwhelming amount of paper. And we're also trying to, you know, stay within our electronic realm. So we will go through each of the five measures. The reviewers will be asked to discuss their thoughts on each of the different sections and the sub-criteria, and as a group, you'll kind of come to consensus on the rating for each of those sub-criteria. Realize that the first measure always goes, you know, longer, and once there's a learning curve and the old kind of, you know, go faster as the day moves on. So I think you should be able to get through the five measures comfortably, and then hopefully there'll be some time to discuss afterwards the issues around what would be good outcome measures that need to be developed. So at that point, I've got all that I've had to say or want to share with you at this point, so I'd like to just open it for any comments or questions. So is everybody clear on where we're going next?
This is Bonnie Teschendorf. I have another question. And you have referred to the developer as being the person who submitted the outcome measure, and I wonder if that is an actual requirement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, every measure that's submitted to NQF has to be submitted on our through our formal submission process. And they, you know, sometimes the measure developer may not be the intellectual property owner or what we call the steward of the measure. And the relationship among all those different organizations is highly variable. Sometimes it's all one, sometimes there are three different organizations. But whoever submits it really needs to be able to say that the organization that owns the intellectual property wants to do this.
I see.
It's responsible
so it would have been,
it
would have been David Sella who submitted the fact instruments.
Yes, correct.
And I have a list of other instruments that I think would be usable.
Mm-hmm.
So is that not something that I could submit?
Well, you could. And I think it will depend on how the measures are. You know, instruments are not always measures in and of themselves, depending on what it is they're measuring. Sometimes they are and sometimes they're not. And so we certainly would need the measure owner or whoever wants to take responsibility for the measure to submit it in through our process. And we can certainly arrange for that to be done.
Okay, thank you.
All you have to do is contact Alexis and we can do that.
Thank
we
you.
Can help you with that. Okay?
This is Helen. Just one more comment, just reflecting on a conversation I had with Lee early on. I think it would be helpful for the committee to also be thinking about data sources as you kind of move into the measure gaps discussion. I know Lee and I had this conversation about, you know, the ability, for example, to do some interesting integration of, for example, cancer registries with other kinds of data, just to think about moving into more of an electronic age to capture some of these data elements by combining of registries and other kind of electronic data.
This is Susan Beck, and I was wondering if the table of measures reflects cross-cutting measures. So, for example, things like pain or function could, you know, be cross-cutting as well.
Right. Probably not, and I think you're right. I think what we do need to do is be sure we've done that.
And then if we have suggestions on measures, which you mentioned earlier, who do we send them to?
You can send, you will have multiple opportunities. You can, any thoughts you're welcome to send to Alexis or myself, bring them up at the meeting, you know, whatever works for you.
Great, thanks.
Okay, anything else?
This is Larry Bassett. I just wanted to quickly, I may have missed something in the email, but I just wanted to check on the meeting in February. So we will be arriving the day before. I'm assuming, and at least I'll have to from the West Coast.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And then will we be leaving after the meeting that same night? Or
again, it depends a lot on where you're traveling to and from. I'm going to let Alexis tell you how she set up the agenda for start and stop time.
Okay, and I also need to know, because you probably already sent this, I may have missed it, but the hotel location and so on?
Yeah.
The agenda for February 10th will begin at 8 a.m., and that'll be the continental breakfast, and then we'll really get into the measures around 8:30. And our meetings department did send out a logistics memo. As far as your travel arrangements, they're still making hotel accommodations, but I will forward that email along to the TAP members just in case you didn't receive it.
Okay, thanks. Yeah.
So it'll give you instructions on...
This meeting will go all the way till 5, just because flights are a little bit of a challenge getting out late.
We know that. We really think that the bulk of the meeting will need to go to at least 3. And so we experience people starting to have to leave to make flights, and that's fairly typical. That's why we try and start at 8:30.
Yeah, the email had said it was going to go to 5, or the response I got said. So you're saying 3 is a better target? Or
5 is what the agenda will say. But we also, look at the reality of the fact that people start leaving. And so even if we would like to go till 5, if there are only 2 people in the room at 4:30, we have a problem. So we try and be as flexible towards the end of the day as we can be. But if you can, plan on staying at least through, 3, it would be grand.
Thank you.
I'll try and be a draconian facilitator, and we'll get us done hopefully in time for flights.
Yeah, that's just a constant issue for folks that we're well aware of. Is there anything else that we can help anyone with? Please don't hesitate to contact Alexis or Sarah or myself. Alexis will send out that logistics memo again. She'll put both my email and Sarah's on it so that you've got several points of contact if you need to. Otherwise, was there anyone on the line besides David Hopkins in the audience who was listening who might want to make a comment? Okay. Sometimes these calls are open to NQF members or the public to listen in on, and we want to give them a chance to say anything they'd like to. Other than that, Lee, I think we're probably done for today, but look forward to hearing from us in terms of the meeting materials later this week, and then we'll see you all on February 10th.
Sounds good. Any other questions or comments? I think we've done it. We'll see you on the 10th then.
Thanks all very much. Look forward to seeing you all then.
Thank you. Bye-bye.